From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and this is On Point.
I know that this is not the graduation that you envisioned. But I also know that there's a way for us to reframe this for you and to not see this as the end of something, but instead to see this as the beginning of you harnessing all of the work, all the values, all the skills that you have embodied over the last 4 years, and now you channel that. Now all of that work gets activated.
To all those who feel different, if you're a part of a group that's called Other, a group that does not get the chance to be center stage, build your own stage, and make them see you, you are at the brink of a huge world shift. Look how far you've come and how much you contributed. Keep pushing.
Graduates, you all are exactly what we need right now. And for the years and decades to come, you're learning so much so quickly. And I know that not only can you do better than those who came before you, you will.
Former First Lady Michelle Obama, Beyonce, and Meghan Markle celebrating the class of 2020. Nearly 3.7 million high school graduates are stepping out into the world and into a workforce, educational and political landscapes that are utterly different than they were just 3 months ago. So this hour on Point, we'll be talking to members of the high school class of 2020 about what it feels like to go through a momentous life transition in a country that is also experiencing a transformation as well. And with us to help guide the way is Sandy Banks. She is a columnist at the Los Angeles Times. We talked with her last week and wanted to have her back because as both a columnist and a mother, she's shared a lot of wisdom with young people. So, Sandy, welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much, Megha.
So your first thoughts for high school grads, for the high school class of 2020?
My first thoughts are that I can't imagine being in their shoes, honestly. When I think back to my graduation, my kids' graduation, and all of the rituals that are associated with it and how much you invest in those rituals. And that seems to me, and I can't wait to hear from the students, but it seems to me that loss of rituals is really important. Even something as simple as senior ditch day. You know, you can't have senior ditch day when you're at home anyway. The prom, the walking across the stage. And it happened so abruptly. Nobody got to plan for it. So I can just imagine that they're feeling a sense of loss and a sense of uncertainty and a sense of being cheated. And it's really gratifying to hear all these words of encouragement from people who are saying, look forward, look at how well you're prepared to go into this world. But I have to think it must feel like a really scary world now, very unpredictable. So, you know, and I have a nephew now who's graduating, and he has so looked forward to it. He got into Morehouse, and he's lived all of his life. His parents are Stanford professors. He's lived all his life in this kind of cocoon in Palo Alto, and he's been just so thrilled and couldn't wait to head off.
Yeah.
And now, instead, he'll be probably taking a gap year, which, you know, a lot of kids are because they're not sure if the school is going to be just online. And online is, as these graduates know, is no substitute for being on a campus with your peers and your friends and your teachers. So I just, you know, my heart breaks for them. And I do think that there will be some positives that come out of this. And I want us to talk about those today. Mm-hmm. But I'd love to hear from the students.
Yeah, we will from quite a few of them in just a moment. But Sandy, I was thinking about how when I graduated from high school in 1990, blah, 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 blah. It seemed like, looking back, I was so blissfully and fortunately naive, right? It was a relatively effortless transition for me. I was far less aware than I would say most, if not all, of young people are today about the challenges and the complexities of the world I was stepping into, because I don't think it was as challenging and complex. So in terms of some of the good things that might happen in this world of pain, actually, is I wonder if kids are stepping out, and kids are not kids, if teens are stepping out into the world in a sense, more resilient or better prepared to handle all that's going to be thrown at them.
I think you're right. I think they've had to build resiliency just through these last few months.
Yes.
And when I think back to my graduation, mine was in 70, blah, 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 blah. And it was kind of the height of the Black Power movement. And I was a Black student in a Black school. And I remember we couldn't wait to get to college because that's when you could get involved. You couldn't do much as a high school student, but the college campuses were all awash in protest. And we were looking forward to getting there and joining them. But these students have seen this happening in the streets and in their neighborhoods and at their schools. And so I think they do. They are much more probably sophisticated about this than we were at graduation. And I think they'll find ways to contribute and to be part of this change that's going on in ways that'll be probably more satisfying and more, consequential than it was when we were in school. So yeah, you're right. I think that there are good things. We will benefit from them in ways that we might not have before.
Right. And also at the same time, not to be naive about the scale of the challenges that these young people are going to be facing, but let's hear from them. So joining us now from Hazleton, Pennsylvania is Rafael Escoto. Rafael's graduating from Washington Heights Expeditionary Learning School in New York City. He's the president of student government there, and he plans to attend St. Lawrence University in New York. Rafael, welcome to On Point.
Thank you. Thank you. Hello, everyone.
And congratulations, a hearty congratulations to you.
Thank you.
What have the past couple of months, though, been like in your senior year of high school?
Well, to be honest, they've definitely been rough, whether it's academic works, packing up, and just the current events right now are just something, you know, it's been difficult to work through, but it's definitely been an obstacle that I'm sure everybody's pushing through right now.
Yeah. Now, are you going to have an in-person or virtual graduation?
We're going to have a virtual graduation.
Hmm. Not too thrilled about that?
Of course, not really, because, you know, I obviously want to be there with my peers and teachers and everyone. But as long as I can share one moment with them, no matter if it's virtual, I think it would definitely be, you know, heartwarming.
Right. And what would it have meant to your family, though, to have been able to see you graduate in person?
Well, I'm a first generation student, so it's definitely going to mean a lot to them seeing that, you know, their son is going places and their son is going to be graduating and, you know, reaching a new milestone in his life.
Well, I suppose, I mean, they can sort of see that same thing virtually. It doesn't diminish their pride in you, I'm sure. But I understand that not having that physical ceremony it might feel like kind of a loss. Now, listen, yeah. I said that you're planning to attend St. Lawrence University in New York. So can you tell us about that? What do you think the future holds for you come the fall?
Well, I know my future with St. Lawrence will definitely be a strong one because I already feel tremendous amount of support. I've been talking to directors. We've been, you know, planning, talking about networking and how, you know, the school year would look like even in the summer.
Okay. So that's good. And so that's on course then. Are you excited?
Definitely.
Okay. Well, so, you know, Sandy and I were two old folks talking about how to cope with change here. I mean, 3 months ago, three and a half months ago, the world was completely different. I mean, what do you think about all the change that has been swirling around you, Rafael, in the past couple of months?
Well, I do definitely believe that this change has made me a stronger leader in my community and more self-aware of my identity throughout everything right now.
Tell me more about that. What do you mean?
Well, since I'm president of student government, I know my job is not to speak for the students, it's to let their voices speak through me. And that's been one of my main priorities since I was given this position. And it's a position that throughout the years, every student has well represented every individual in my school. And it's like, when I talk about my identity, it's because I've seen and I began to value the little things in life and the things that, and I began to value change and seeing that change can happen if we all unite together.
Mm. Now, you talked about being president of the student government there. So that's a really important position in school. What have you done or what have you felt like you needed to do to represent and support your fellow students? And in the midst of, you know, the past couple of weeks of this sort of national protest movement?
Well, I do strongly believe that race conversations about race definitely need to become more common in society. And that's something that I've been speaking with the principal, with students on how can we bring these conversations into our everyday lives and make it a normality instead of making it something that happens once in a while or when students want to gather. Throughout this time, I'm currently working on a big project with another president of the National Honor Society, and we're working on a big document that provides resources for students, such as what does a safe protest look like? What gear should you bring? How should you protect yourself? We're also on the document, we're also going to include resources such as anti-blackness in the Dominican community, because our school is mainly students of color. So that is a conversation that definitely needs to be spoken about. Yesterday, I attended a conversation held by the vice principal to parents speaking about anti-blackness and how sometimes the media may show something, but that's not always the perfect representation of what is going on now.
Well, Sandy, we've just got about 30 seconds before we have to take a quick break. Is there anything you wanted to share with Raphael?
Yeah, I wanted to ask him. I think I want to salute you first for the efforts that you're making to help educate and stay in touch on these issues. Since we've had such rapid change in response to these protests, you see the power of protest. Does that make you stronger or more committed as you go into college to be in the vanguard, kind of?
It definitely does, because I know where my place stands. I'm not just a student. I'm going to be an activist the same way I am now. And all what I want for the human race, what I want for everyone is to see that we are all equal and that we all deserve to be respected and understood.
Well, Raphael Escoto, member of the class of 2020 from Washington Heights Expeditionary Learning School in New York. Congratulations, Raphael, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
We'll be back. This is On Point.
Support for the On Point podcast comes from Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform that lets you find candidates fast. Ditch the busy work and use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/onpoint. That's Indeed.com/onpoint. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We're talking this hour about the high school class of 2020 and what it's like to move into full-blown adulthood amidst a full-blown pandemic and widespread protests for change. I'm joined today by Sandy Banks. She's a columnist for the Los Angeles Times. And Sandy's coming along with us as we talk to a whole huge number of high school grads. Now, we reached out to several schools here, including Fisher High School in Fishers, Indiana. Now, Fishers High School has postponed its graduation until July. Bridget Bullock is a senior there, and she says that's just one of the many unexpected changes she's experienced her senior year.
Well, on the one hand, you don't get to go to prom, you don't get to see your friends, you don't get to do a lot of the senior activities that really make senior year special. I also got to sleep in every day. I didn't have to take finals. I didn't have to take AP tests. I didn't have to do nearly as much second semester coursework as I usually would have. And also I got to do my coursework in my pajamas, which is always a plus.
Well, McKenna Torito is on student government, and she and other reps at Fishers High School Zoomed with their principal and administrators frequently to discuss how to best serve graduating seniors. And they jointly planned a belated graduation and arranged for a drive-in senior movie.
We as students didn't feel like we were isolated or that our perspectives weren't being heard. It really helped me to feel less disappointed about not having a normal senior year, because we were still able to have aspects that were normal in a way, with the staff helping to convey that.
Well, let's listen to Bridget again, because she's got some mixed feelings. She says it will be wonderful to see her friends and family and teachers at graduation in July.
But on the other hand, we do need to worry about public safety and how that might be a health concern for not just the graduates and the staff and the administration and our families, but for the entire community.
And for Myra Kivett, that leaves her with one feeling, that high school didn't really end. It just kind of faded away.
Like, I know it in my head, but it just feels incomplete in my heart. And I know that sounds cheesy, but really it feels like I have not really had, you know, closure.
Those are voices from some seniors from Fishers High School in Fishers, Indiana. And joining us now from Cary, North Carolina, is Rohini Madhu. She's graduating from Green Hope High School and plans to study biostatistics at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Rohini, welcome to On Point.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So first of all, congratulations to you on graduating. Have you had your graduation ceremonies yet?
Yeah, we actually had ours a couple of days ago.
And what was that like?
So our school decided to do a drive-through graduation. So they had a lot of time slots by last name, and we were able to drive through the carpool lane and then pull up to a certain area, and the graduate will walk out of the car, walk on stage, get their diploma, and take some pictures, and then drive off.
A drive-through graduation? That wasn't really what you'd planned on, was it?
Definitely not, but I still think that the fact that my school, considering my school is enormous and my graduating class is over 700 students, so I think the fact that they were able to give us somewhat of an in-person graduation was really nice.
Wow. You know, in the little clips that you just heard, Myra from Fishers High School in Indiana had talked about how she didn't really feel like she's had closure from high school, that things just kind of faded away. Do you feel similarly, Rohini?
I definitely resonate with that. Our last day, my last day of high school, I had never expected that to be my last day. We were all joking around that, oh, like, see you guys never. Like, no one expected us to actually never come back to school. And it still honestly hasn't hit me that I'll never step back in high school again. So I definitely feel the same way.
I hope you don't mind me saying this, Rohini, but that kind of breaks my heart. Like,
yeah, me too.
Yeah. Well, and so what do you think about this world you're stepping into that seems so tumultuous and different than it was, you know, back in March?
I think a lot of the change going on right now is for the better. This year has definitely been crazy, but I think a good thing about me and my peers being able to stay home more often is we're able to educate ourselves about what's happening and really, without distractions of schoolwork and other activities, really find a way to be involved in our communities and give back.
Mm. Well, Sandy, jump in here. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I just have to say, I really admire the creativity that's shown at these student schools. And the fact that you could have a drive-through graduation for 700 kids, I know that must have taken forever, but I think that sounds great. The way that you're finding the positives in it, I mean, just touched me right now because, you know, I'm working at home too as a reporter and limited in what I could do. But you're right, I can do it in my pajamas. So that's a big plus. So I think that kind of you guys being able to stay in touch and joke about it and all that is really an encouraging sign about your attitude going forward because, you know, you've seen how abrupt and how your plans can be upended in 1 minute and you never know it. You never know what's going to come. So you have a sense of kind of the unpredictability of the world that most of us didn't have at your age. But you're finding the silver linings and that's great.
Yeah, and I think at first all of us were definitely very disappointed. I mean, our prom got canceled and we didn't have the traditional graduation. But I think at one point we all just kind of made peace with it and realized that things are happening for a reason. And the thing that's most important is that we're all able to stay safe and be with our families during everything that's going on right now.
Right. Well, so
that's a great attitude.
Yeah, there's some wisdom. Absolutely. Yeah. So, Rohini, one more question for you. I said that you're planning to major in biostats when you start at UNC Chapel Hill. That's cool. Why biostats?
Thank you. Well, in high school, I took statistics my sophomore year, and that class really struck a chord with me. It just made sense to me, being able to take numbers and make sense out of it and solving real-world questions just by using data. And with biostatistics, I'm able to use what makes sense to me and kind of give back to the world, because something I might do in my future career is, with something like Corona, be able to administer drugs and create trials and tests and try to come up with a cure. And I just think that it's really cool that I'm able to pursue a career where I can do something that works for me and makes sense to me, and I'm also able to give back to the world. So I think that's why biostatistics really stuck out to me.
Absolutely. And I think it's fantastic, even in the midst of this big tragedy that is this pandemic, that you're at least getting a chance to see the immediate application for this thing that you want to study. So Rohini Madhu, graduating from Green Hope High School and joining us from Cary, North Carolina. Rohini, congratulations once again, and thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Sandy, just one quick question to you. This is also something that I think I definitely didn't necessarily have when I graduated from high school, which was a sense of the immediate applicability of whatever my next steps were going to be in terms of how I could have an impact on the world. I didn't have that real palpable sense that we've already heard some of the students we've talked to say that they feel.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I didn't have that either. I didn't know. You know, I knew kind of I wanted to be involved in something, but I didn't have a sense of how it was going to apply immediately. And even our first student, Raphael, talking about coming up with a packet that explains to people what's the best way to protest. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're applying the lessons of this immediately. And that kind of surprises me and really inspires me. And
yeah.
Suggests that we're going to be fine, you know?
Well, let's hear from some more folks now. Let's go to Los Angeles, where Antonio Frias joins us. Antonio is graduating from Alliance Susan and Eric Schmidt Tech High School and plans to enlist in the Marine Corps. Antonio, welcome to you and congratulations.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. So talk to me a little bit about what these past couple of months have been like for you in your last 3 months of your senior year of high school.
Well, so far, the last few months have been a little confusing since this isn't normally what we do or what we're used to. But overall, it's just getting used to it is what I've been doing over time.
Okay. And how have you been getting used to it?
So far, just by, before school ended, I was just completing my homework. I was focused on graduating and just thinking about what I would have been doing during school.
And what thoughts did you have? What did you think about?
I thought about the memories that could have been made and from and just everything that could have been going on instead of just staying home because of the quarantine.
Did the forced time at home also make you, or help you or give you time to reconsider what you wanted to do after high school?
It did. So during this time, since I wasn't just focused in school, I had time to think about what I really wanted for my future, and I decided to enlist in the Marine Corps instead of going to school.
That's not something you thought about before?
Initially it was, but throughout high school, I was just my mind changing to going to college after.
Hmm. And so why the Marine Corps?
My uncle was a former Marine, and he was always like a father figure to me, so I kind of wanted to follow into his footsteps.
Oh, and so that's terrific. And have you signed up?
Yes, I have.
Okay. And so what are the next steps then? Where are you going next and when?
My next steps are to leave to boot camp in 2 or 3 months, and I'm just waiting on that.
Okay. You excited?
Antonio?
Oh, yes, I am.
Okay. Sorry, Sandy. Please go ahead.
Oh, no, yeah. I just wonder, and I want to commend you on your commitment to serve. And will things be different in the Marine Corps because of the pandemic? I mean, are you entering into a new Marine Corps as well, or do you know?
No, honestly, I have no word on that. I do not know.
Are you nervous about stepping into, I mean, you've just been through this kind of unheralded change, sea change in how the country, how the world works. Are you, what's your feeling right now? Are you excited? Are you nervous? Are you, you know, what do you think going in?
I'm a little nervous just because it's a new thing and it's not what normal people are doing. But overall, I'm more excited to go in.
Did you stay in touch with your classmates while you were out, and how do they feel about your decision? What feedback have you gotten?
Yes, I stayed in touch with a few, and my close friends are really excited for me. They're just more happy that I'm doing what I want to do and not what other people have told me to.
That's great. That's a good way to be mature.
Well, Antonio Frias graduating from Alliance Susan and Eric Schmidt Tech High School in Los Angeles. Thank you so much, Antonio, and congratulations to you.
Thank you.
Okay, so that was Antonio from L.A. Let's move a little further north in California and go to Berkeley, California now, where Teoman Tezchun joins us. Teoman is graduating from Berkeley High School, is a reporter at YR Media, a national network of young journalists and artists, and is considering a gap year before enrolling in college. Teoman, welcome to you.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well, and congratulations to you. So tell us, a gap year before enrolling in college, was that something you were thinking about, say, 3 months ago?
Not hugely, and not just my perception, but obviously my parents' views on it matter a lot in my case. And they were also, you know, even if I had considered it like, oh, what if I did that? They were like, no way. And now I'm more interested in the prospect, and so are they.
Do you know what you're going to do?
So currently, I've been working remotely both for Wire Media and also for Mathnasium, Albany Berkeley Mathnasium. So I'd consider continuing those opportunities if I could. And otherwise, I'd also look into the prospect of being a contact tracer, since I think that's a big thing right now, you know, fighting coronavirus and getting everyone through this pandemic.
Spending a gap year doing contact tracing, first of all, it'd be a great service to the people of California, and it would be like kind of an amazing experience that literally no one has had in 100 years here in the United States.
I think that's
a great idea.
Yeah, that's so, when we think of gap years, I think we usually think of something that's going to, you know, enrich your academic experience and make you look really good to the college and you travel the world. But you're doing something that, as Magna said, didn't exist before. And it's going to be such a learning experience in that way for you and contributing to the safety and health of your community. How do your parents feel about that?
Well, I mean, contact tracing, as far as I understand, it's also remote work. Mm-hmm. So it's a really safe way to still really help out and kind of, in a way, be on the front lines and yet protected because you do it over the phone. I don't know. It was kind of actually my uncle's idea. He was telling me about this, and I looked into it and found that these opportunities are coming up. And, I mean, I know you say it's kind of, a little bit off the course for gap years, but if I'm taking a gap year because of coronavirus, I mean, what I'm doing might as well be contributing to fighting coronavirus, I figure.
What does it mean
to
you?
Can I
just jump in here? I'm so sorry, because I wanted to just ask Teoman, what does it mean to you that you could spend that year sort of be, people are talking about all the challenges and problems that the United States has, you could actually be part of the solution here if you chose that path.
Yeah, definitely. I feel that a lot of us are trying to social distance, and that's working. But I think the key lies in more focusing on the people who actually have coronavirus and test positive for coronavirus, and keeping them and other people they might have actually directly transmitted it to quarantined. So I think if I could be part of that effort that's sort of more concerted and kind of attacking right at where the problem starts, I think we could all get through this a lot faster.
That's a great idea, and I hope our listeners are taking note, because I read that something like 40% of of families of students that are considering a gap year this year of graduating high school students, but there are a dearth of gap year opportunities because of social distancing. So you found a way to make this gap year a learning experience for you, a credit to the, your community, and a way to be useful during a year when you might not be. So I just hope listeners are listening and looking at unconventional ways to do a gap year. Everything's changed, and this is one of those.
Yeah. Well, Tayamon Tezcan is graduating from Berkeley High School in Berkeley, California. He's a reporter at YR Media, a national network of young journalists and artists. And as you heard, he is considering a gap year before entering college. Tayamon, congratulations on graduating from high school, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
We'll be back with more young voices stepping out into this big, chaotic world. This is On Point.
A gruesome scandal at the nation's most prestigious university shines a light on a macabre and lucrative world of buying and selling human remains.
Human body parts taken by a manager at the Harvard Medical School morgue and then sold to customers online.
So my first skull is right there on the top shelf. That's my first and my favorite.
I'm reporter Allie Jarmani, and this story raises some tough questions. How should we treat the dead? And who gets to decide?
There should be some middle ground where we treat deceased tissues differently than we treat old refrigerators.
This is Postmortem, The Stolen Bodies of Harvard, a new season of WBUR's Last Scene. Listen and follow Last Scene wherever you get your podcasts.
This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Tomorrow it is yet another Friday, which means it will be time for our week in review, and we will be taking a look at all the big news of the week, including George Floyd being laid to rest, the election that happened in the state of Georgia, congressional Zoom hearings, and of course, ongoing protests across the United States. So we want your input. Leave us a voicemail and tell us what your top story is, what you make of what happened across the country or where you are this week. Our number is 617-353-0683. That's 617-353-0683. That's for tomorrow's show. We'll be taking a look at the week in review. Today, we are talking with members of the high school graduating class of 2020 and what it's like for them as they're making this big transition into adulthood, into a world full of massive uncertainties. And Sandy Banks joins us today from Los Angeles. She's a columnist for the LA Times, and she's with me to help to sort of be a guide as we talk to these remarkable young voices. And Sandy, I have to say, I think this is the hour that I needed to hear because, right? Their hope and their it's not naive hope. Like it's just like they're realistic about the world they're entering. But these kids, these teens, in that realism, there's a sense of possibility as well.
Yes, yes. And it's inspiring to me. I was thinking, oh, I'll try to uplift them a little and inspire them. But I realize they're inspiring me because, you know, the way they have kind of accepted that there are things in life that are going to happen and you can either bemoan them or you can adjust to them and move forward and continue to contribute. And it's a fascinating range of young people you've got on here, and I'm really enjoying hearing from them. And it gives me a lot of faith and hope in our future.
Well, let's listen to a couple of more voices from that future. Tavante Campbell joins us now from Memphis, Tennessee. Tavante is graduating from Kipp Collegiate High School and plans to attend the University of Tennessee in Knoxville this fall. Tavante, welcome to On Point.
Thank you for having me.
And congratulations to you as well. How do you feel that you finally reached the end of your high school journey?
I'm in different kind of, like, I'm excited for the next part of my life. But at the same time, as other students have said, it kind of like faded away. It wasn't really just like a start to finish. It was just kind of like, oh, okay. You know, so.
When was your last day in school, actually, in the building for Kipp Collegiate High?
Okay, so it was a Thursday. We were watching Inside Out in our AP Psychology class.
The animated movie?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay.
And so I remember us cracking jokes like, hey, spring break is going to be like a year long. And come to find out, our school district had released a decree, because that makes them like, they had released like a notice saying that spring break was going to be 2 weeks instead of 1 week. And so I just remember thinking, hey, I get 2 weeks out of school, right? So I was thinking I'm going to take the first week off and do all my work the second week. And then 2 weeks turned into a month turned into 2 months, and then school was canceled indefinitely. So,
wow. And so what have you been doing the past 3 months? Have you been continuing your senior year online?
Well, it was actually optional for me, because the schoolwork was to improve your grades from quarter three, and I already had all A's. So honestly, it was just kind of like I don't want to say salute, but it was like a moment of rest for me, because I had done all this work beforehand to where I didn't need to cram work in the time that I could relax, you know. So,
and okay, people should know this, Tavante, you definitely worked hard, because is this right? You graduated as valedictorian of your class?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Congratulations on that. That is quite an accomplishment. Did you guys have a graduation ceremony?
So yeah, it was like a combination of all three methods, like the virtual, the drive-through, and like physical. So,
yeah.
So they recorded us walking across the stage, and like based on like your class percentage, or it might have been your last name, I'm not sure. You got to see your group of peers in that group. So I was a part of the first group, like the top 10. So we all got to see each other, talk for a little bit, record our graduation ceremony, walked around the school one last time, and then we got to walk outside to where our parents were lined up in a parade. So it was actually pretty cool.
Oh, but your family couldn't be inside with you?
No, ma'am, not at all.
Oh, you know, that's something we've heard a couple of times, is because that actually is something sad. There isn't that sense of like people being able to be physically together to celebrate this big moment in your life, because it's probably a huge moment for your family too, right?
Right. Yes, ma'am.
Wow. Okay. Well, I want to ask you one more thing, though, or like 10 more things, Tavante, to be honest. Does Kipp Collegiate have a tradition of valedictorians giving a speech during graduation?
Yes. So I know based off the numbers. So the third person in the class does the welcome, and the salutatorian gives their speech, and then the valedictorian gives their speech, and then we all walk across the stage and, you know.
So did you do that?
Yeah, so I actually had pre-recorded my speech for Chalkbeat, and then I got to the school. I had to get to the school early and had to record it again for the Kipp Foundation. So yeah, I did get a chance to say it, just not in front of my class.
Okay. And Chalkbeat is a group of reporters that a journalistic organization that reports on education. Really good organization there. Do you want to? I don't know if you've memorized it or not, Tavante, so I'm not going to ask you to recreate your speech right now. But what was the message that you had for your fellow graduates?
It was basically to, at this point, you know, instead of the word, just never be afraid to take chances. Because, I mean, with all this free time we have, you know, you have a chance to discover who you really are. And you have a chance to fail without anyone really noticing, because it's just you, time and focus, you know. So my message was just to, you know, try new things, don't be intimidated, and what's the worst that could happen? So.
That's great. Did you, I have a practical kind of question. Did you get to take AP exams and all that?
I did. Okay. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's all. I just wanted to know, I've heard some students say they felt like all their study was wasted because then they didn't get to take the exams or whatever, but... but so you're proceeded normally until that spring break.
Yeah, but so I actually had to take my AP exams at home, and they all got pushed back towards the end of May. So, I took all my tests over my computer, because you just log into the College Board website and do it that way. So,
yeah, well, that was good. Lucky actually. So is that going to help you? And you're going to start in the fall, right? Or are you not going to delay? Is it will your university be having on-campus classes, or will they be online?
Well, as of right now, they said they're having campuses, like on classes on campus. But if that changes, I might delay my entrance or admissions. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And yeah, why? And what would be your thinking? Why would you do that? And what would you do instead?
So personally, like, the reason I would delay is because, firstly, college is expensive, and so. To do all this work, you know,
mm-hmm.
and to simply be told, hey, good job, but, you know, you can't experience completely what you've worked for. Like, I'm not saying that I necessarily feel entitled to, but if all I have to do is wait another year to experience or to have that, you know, that opportunity to be on campus, like, I'm willing to take out a year and focus on myself and continue to, like, build myself to where I'm ready, you know, for that next step.
Tavante, let me ask you, you said something which I thought was so profoundly wise a couple of minutes ago about that you encourage your classmates to take advantage of this time to try things in order to, because you could fail without anyone noticing. That I hadn't actually thought of this moment as that kind of opportunity. And so just I might actually even just use it in my own life, Tavante, to be perfectly honest. But let me ask you, since you had a chance to think about your class and to speak to your peers, do you feel confident about your collective futures? Because one of the things that young people have to grapple with right now is, like, we're handing you guys a world that isn't, that's kind of broken in some fundamental ways. But do you feel confident about your future?
Personally, I've always had faith in my class. Because, I mean, not to sound cliche, but look how most of my class was born in 2001, 2002. And I mean, honestly, the state of the world isn't much different than it was back then. So, I mean, like, and then on top of that, just like, My school being predominantly Black, like, the odds have always been against us. So, I mean, for something like this, for a challenge like this, isn't something foreign. It's I wouldn't say we're accustomed to, but we know how to deal with it. So I'm not worried about them. My only thing is my class can be its hardest critic, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so we often psych ourselves out before we even attack something. And so I just pray that my class stays encouraged, you know.
Yeah. Well, Tavante Campbell, graduating from Kipp Collegiate High School as class valedictorian, he plans to, did I say Clip? I said Kipp Collegiate High School. Sorry about that. He plans to attend the University of Tennessee this fall. Tavante, thank you so very much and congratulations.
Thank you for having me again.
It was great to have you on the show. Okay, so Sandy, we've got one more grad that we want to talk to. Let's move to Ann Arbor, Michigan, where Cami Tirico joins us. Cami's graduating from Community High School in Ann Arbor, and she's co-producer of Kids These Days, a new podcast from Michigan Public Radio and Community High School, produced and hosted by teens for teens. So, Cami, welcome to On Point and congratulations.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
How are you feeling about this moment as you take your next big steps into the world?
Kind of uncertain and yet optimistic. I think kind of with everything going on in the world with the pandemic and the protests and being at home for months on end, it's kind of certainly unlike anything we've experienced before, but also seeing how people are banding together in both facets that I feel like there's a good momentum going with this generation.
Mm. Have you been going to rallies or protests in Ann Arbor?
I've been to a few of them, yeah. And they've been certainly very powerful and moving, and with so many people there rallying together for a common cause, which has been very exciting, I guess, to see.
Mm. You know, one thing that Sandy and I have talked about a couple of times this hour is that looking back, for us, things seemed more or less to be pretty straightforward. But I wonder if you've, in terms of what the next steps would be after high school, but I wonder, it sounds like you don't really feel this way now, that the regular guidebook that we all had upon high school graduation has been kind of like tossed out the window.
Yeah, I think I think if anyone's been ready or prepared to do that, it's kind of our class, our time, because like even just in our high school experience, we've seen protest, whether for the environment or Women's March, and a very hotly contested election all within our 4 years of high school. So I think people have kind of been saying that our generation is the future, and that now that we're kind of graduating and entering adulthood, it kind of feels like that's getting nearer and nearer and might be now.
How do you feel about that?
Kind of hopeful. I think at least the people I know my age and seeing people my age around the country, I think we may be in good hands.
Yeah. Sandy, jump in here.
Well, I'm really impressed. And I hadn't thought of what you said, Cammie, that you guys have been through a lot in your 4 years. So when we look back and see ours, it's a different experience. So you are not shaken up by this, by both of the pandemic and the protests and the sense that we're in the midst of a sea change, because you've had to weather a lot. So I thank you for that perspective, because it's great, the confidence that all of the students that we've talked to have in your class, and that you're prepared to walk into this new world and make change. So that's really good. And you being on a college campus, you must get infused with that, or near in a college town. You must experience that a lot, be close to that spirit of change.
Definitely. It definitely always feels like there's something big happening nearby, whether protests and rallies or just feeling like you're around smart people making a difference all the time.
Hmm. Well, Cam, we've got about 30 seconds or so left to go here. There's a lot of people listening right now, so this is your chance to give maybe your fellow members of the class of 2020 some advice or wise words. What would you like to tell young people around the country your own age right now?
I think just to hang in there and use this opportunity to make a difference, because few times, hopefully never again, will we have this much time where we're not in school, we're not working, but there's so much important movements and important work happening around us, that to really engage in that and educate yourself and stay involved.
Well, Cammie Tirico is graduating from Community High School in Ann Arbor, Michigan. She's also co-producer of Kids These Days, a new podcast from Michigan Public Radio and Community High School. Cammie, congratulations to you. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
And Sandy Banks, columnist for the Los Angeles Times. Sandy, thank you for being with us. And I have an unexpectedly large smile on my face hearing these young voices today.
Me too. I feel like I better get in gear now, because they're really full of energy and enthusiasm and hope. And that's great.
Exactly. Well, Sandy, thanks so much for joining us. And we will go out with a little bit of Pomp and Circumstance. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point.